everybody, Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc., this time with L. Ron Ferguson. Before you go anywhere else, I want you to make sure that you are on calbanyan.com, because right below this video, right down there, is additional text, supporting graphics, links, all that kind of good stuff. So make sure you're watching it on calbanyan.com. Let me tell you about L. Ron Ferguson. L. Ron Ferguson is a one percenter, very serious about the profession. He helps me teach classes, and he does a lot of coaching with the new people, and he really knows what's going on. And recently, he decided that he wanted to sit in the client's chair. And this series is part two of the series of him talking about some of the things that he got by going through the process that has helped lift him in the work he's doing. How you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing better than ever, Cal.
Hot diggity dog.
Hot diggity dog. You see my tan? After sessions, you know, it makes everything in your life better, right?
You know what? I'm so loving it. It's summertime. I've been out on my bikes. I've been out on my Harley. I've been hanging around with one of my new Harley friends. His name, they call him Caveman. And he rides this old knuckle from the 60s now. Knucklehead, you know, if you bikers out there, you know what that is. That's an old, cool, that's so cool, man, to be riding an old Kickstarter knucklehead. I was partying with him last weekend. And then the very next day, I dust all that off, and then I get on my Trek bicycle, went on a 44-mile ride with my buddy Memo. This morning, I was on a 30-mile ride with my buddy Mike. Gosh, they can't all keep up with me. They have to take turns riding with me. I'm so excited. Summer's here. Had a great lunch with my wife, and I'm just ready to rock and roll with you.
Right on, Cal. Ready to rock.
I'm always ready to rock.
I gotta say, life is good. And, you know, especially after getting sessions, I don't know, there's this reservoir of energy inside of me that's been opened up. I mean, I bought 50 yoga classes the other day. I don't know if you guys know about Bikram yoga. It's pretty hardcore, you know, 90 minutes in a heated room. If you're a yoga snob, you probably don't like it, but I think it's hardcore. But I was doing it the other day, and, well, I think I'm in better shape now than I was when, you know, I was like 25. For some reason, I just remember thinking, geez, I remember it being a lot harder than this.
Yeah, then, when were you 25, like last year?
Oh, wouldn't you like to know, Cal?
Gosh, no, for me, like that was over 25 years ago.
5 years ago, 5 years
ago. Oh, you're 30 now, are you?
Yeah, no, I'm not 30 yet, but, you know, in the neighborhood of 5 years ago.
Already?
Oh, now all my secrets are out there. I'm getting therapy. Oh, boy. Everybody knows how old I am. Jeez, Cal. It's okay. I ain't got nothing to hide.
Hey, hypno chicks out there, guess who's available?
Oh, God, are you kidding?
Is that a secret?
Wow. Wow. Well, there it goes. All right, let it all out.
Acknowledge it or deny it, one
That's
or the
right.
other.
That's right. Gotta acknowledge it, right? That's right. I'm available.
That's right.
And I'm loving it. I gotta say, life is good. It's time to focus on me for a change, and that's really been what getting sessions is all about, because you want to be able to unlock that kind of sense of empowerment from the inside of a person. And to go through it is just really an incredible experience that's made me a much better practitioner. So, without further ado, let me get into some material. Is that okay with you, Cal?
Cal? But of course.
Okay, there you are. We were just going over age regression, some of the tips and tricks that I picked up from going through the process in age regression in the five-path approach. I'm just going to give you an overview of age regression. All right. It's where we take the client's presenting symptom or feeling that they don't like, intensify it in the hypnosis, follow that feeling back to an earlier time they felt that way. So we deepen the client to the point where they're able to relive experiences, that is, revivify them. And we take them back to earlier revivifications that have an emotional resonance or a familiar feeling with the one that was presenting itself that brought them into your office. Follow that back through time, earlier, earlier, earlier. Try to get it to the first time that it happened, where the problem started. We call that the initial sensitizing event. From then, what we do is it's called informed child technique, where we psychically divide the client into two parts, the child aspect of the client and the adult aspect of the client that we call grown-up, and we collapse the old cognitions, fears, misperceptions that the client experienced back then that got associated with the emotion that then created the problem and then got reinforced through time later on and messed your client up to bring them in the office. So we challenge that information and put that new information in where the old used to be, neutralize the emotion, take it up through the subsequential sensitizing events, you know, the ones that we followed back down in the first place, okay, reinforce that change, and then take it into age progression where we give the client, have them hallucinate experiencing the change in a probable future. Because after all, we do covert testing and deepening so that we know that they are able to hallucinate these events and then reinforce that change and then wrap it all up with direct suggestion.
Well, great. Now if you tell them all that stuff, they don't have to go through the course anymore.
Yeah, I know. See, we give away all the information for free.
There you go.
Jeez.
All
right,
it's a
crime. All right, so I was moving through chronologically, highlighting some different things that I picked up. And gosh, you know what? You're right, Cal. I can think so much better in this chair than that other chair. I mean, I think that my blood flow is just going all down the wrong places. Now I can talk, I can think, and the green tea's kicking in. So where was I? Once again, just highlighting and drawing attention to how thorough we are as five pathers. Of course, how thorough Cal is as Mr. Five Path himself. And when we are removing these old cognitions that have happened so long ago and checking to see if it took, right? Checking to see if we've actually removed that negative feeling. Cal is completely relentless. Where other hypnotherapists would quit, five pathers don't, because we have so many tools at our disposal and we really want to get that those old entrenched cognitions collapsed so that the feeling dissipates and dissolves away to nothing. One thing that I found very helpful was Cal kept on asking me relentlessly, you know, as in an age regress state, check inside yourself and see if that feeling's there. Go ahead and look inside, little one, or whatever age you're talking to with the client, and check if that feeling's still there. You want to add anything to that, Cal?
No, I don't. You're doing fine.
Yeah. I mean, I just found that extremely helpful because, you know, a lot of times you'll be with a client and go, okay, how do you feel now? Good. But that may not be all of the story. And once again, one of the things I highlighted in the last episode was the importance of being able to watch your client and pick up those little physiological clues where they say, good, but you look at them really closely and it's not good. There's some other stuff going on there, which led Cal to ask, check inside yourself and see if any of that feeling's still there. Tell me how it feels in there. And of course, there was some more feeling in there, at which point Cal became more directive, right? That's what we do. We become more directive because the thing is that the insight is inside of the client. They know more about their problem than you'll ever know. And it's up to us to find that information, to basically get the client to elicit that information out of themselves so that they can give themselves that knowledge, at which point Cal did something that I had to laugh about later. Where, you know, the client's psychically divided into two parts. He goes, okay, be grown up. Grown up, you failed. I can't do this for you. Change his life. Tell him what he needs to hear so he can feel safe and secure until that feeling goes away. And once again, that really helped me to dig down into a deeper level of myself to unlock those insights. Once again, they would have been just swept under the rug with a decent feeling, having decent results. But the thing is, we don't want to have mediocre results. We want to have the best results. Because it's not about a quick fix. It's not about making the client feel good while they're coming to see you. It's about making them feel good after they leave, or 6 months after they leave, or 6 years after they leave. It's about making that permanent change. In order to do that, no stone can be left unturned when it comes to neutralizing those old cognitions that are still within the subconscious mind.
You know, as you're talking about that, I'm thinking about You know, you asked me if I want to add something to add to that. And so when we believe that we've neutralized the initial sensitizing event, or if we're checking to see if it's been neutralized in the subsequent sensitizing event, SSE, then I want you to check in your body where you felt that feeling. How do you feel in there now? Because sometimes the mind and the emotion body is not in sync, and the mind will say, oh yeah, now I think totally different, but the body is still feeling that emotion. And so checking where they used to have the fear or where they used to have the sadness is a really good way to check to see if the work is done at that point. Also, if you're doing regression, you're moving backwards, checking in the body, so you know, where do you feel it in the body? The reason I do that is because that which you put your attention on grows. And so as I'm moving backwards in time, I want to make sure I have a good strong affect or emotion or symptom, if I'm doing symptom bridge instead of affect bridge, which is emotion. So I'm focused on where it is in their body, and that tends to make it stronger. And so actually, in a way, here's something I don't talk about very much. When I have them focus on the emotion and where it's in the body, not only does it exacerbate the emotion, but I'm actually kind of setting up a two-lane bridge going back, because I'm simultaneously doing an affect bridge and a somatic bridge, a feeling bodily type bridge in addition to just the emotion. And the stronger the bridge, the more reliable the outcome of the session. How do you like that, Elron?
I love it.
Cool. Proceed.
Okay.
Hey, did you talk about the Fab Five yet?
I don't know. Did I?
We talked about you talking about the Fab Five. If you could just kind of talk to them a little bit and explain about the Fabulous Five or the Super Duper Five or whatever you can call it.
Yes.
We usually call it the Fab Five or something like that. And it's about how we decide when we're moving back through the regression as to whether or not we're at the ISC or if we're just at some subsequent sensitizing event.
So here are the five fab. And when we're going back, navigating the age regression process, we, you know, and they're revivifying these different events, we want to ask them, what's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Is that feeling familiar or new? How old are you? Okay. Sometimes not necessarily in that order, but, we want to find those different things, because after all, those things have to make sense, especially between what's happening, what are you thinking, and what are you feeling. Because it's the perception that causes the thought, the cognition, what do I think about that? Okay, does this or does this not fulfill a need, want, or desire? What's this going to do to me? Okay, and then the thought causes the emotional response. And then
now, the reason I'm having you kind of talk about that is in last episode, it seemed like you were kind of getting into talking about how that was, what that was like for you to experience it from the client's perspective, to have me, you know, relentlessly at every event that we visit to dredge up those, that minimum 5 bits of information.
Yeah. And I found it to be really thorough, you know, because once again, you ask your client, what are you thinking? And they'll respond with a feeling. And you ask them what they're feeling, and they'll respond with a thought. Okay, what are you feeling? I'm feeling lost. Okay, how does that make you feel? Okay, because these are cognitions, and we want to really be able to ascertain the story and get the feelings out of them, that those one-word feelings. Makes me want to talk about the secret language of feelings.
Before you do that, I want to clarify some. So just to reiterate for the listeners and for the watchers, okay, for all you watchers out there, you will ask sometimes these questions, you know, what's happening, then they get that right. Then we ask them, what are you thinking? And sometimes they'll give you a feeling, and you ask, what are you feeling? And sometimes they'll give you a thought. And if you ask them, what are you feeling? It's very common for people to talk about what they're thinking. In other words, a judgment, like, so how are you feeling? And they'll start a sentence that begins with the word like, you know, like I'm all alone. Well, that's, you know, that's a judgment. Or like I'm never going to be loved again. And that's a judgment. You know, they have a perception and then they give it meaning, but that's not the emotion yet. You've got to have this clarity of understanding between what they're thinking and what they're feeling. Are you going to be doing a cognitive bridge? Or are you going to be doing an emotional bridge? And if they give you a thought, just like Elrum was talking about, I just want to clarify it for everybody, that if they give you a thought when you ask, what are you feeling, you might say, and what does that make you feel? What does that make you feel? Mm-hmm. And one word, what's the feeling? That kind of stuff, because we want to get that information about the emotion, especially if we're doing affect bridge age regression. Good. Please proceed.
And boy, I tell you, Cal is Mr. Clarity, because we have to have these things crystal clear, because after all, everything is criteria-based. We want to be accurate in following the feeling so that we can actually neutralize what the client came in for. Where was I? I was about to jump into talking about secret language of feelings. And as Cal was talking about this model of there is a perception, and then we give it meaning, and then it causes an emotional response. Well, one of the things that we have as five pathers is the knowledge of the secret language of feelings. It helps you out in all aspects of a hypnotherapeutic approach, especially, in my mind, age regression. And also, of course, close coaching your clients before and after the sessions on how to respond to their feelings in a satisfying way. And what it talks about more than anything else is what cognitions and what thoughts lead to different feelings, and how to really make sense of those so that you can know what your client is feeling in a different event based on what they're thinking, and also so you can coach your clients what they're feeling in their life based on what they're thinking, and also coaching them on how to ascertain whether or not the feelings that they're feeling are proportional to what's happening, knowing whether or not they are irrational, whether they need some help on that or not, or whether the feeling is actually motivating them to do something different. Let me give you a few examples. Say you're going navigating an age regression, and you have your client there, they're in a revivification, and they are having thoughts somewhere along the line of something bad might happen. Well, that relates to fear, okay? Ever since the beginning of time, when somebody's thought something bad's going to happen, it's the emotion of fear precipitates that. Okay, if they're thinking the situation isn't fair, that's the feeling of anger. If they're thinking I've done somebody wrong, that's the feeling of guilt. If they're thinking I've lost something, that's the feeling of sadness. Okay, and being able to make the story make sense and label the feeling correctly will give you a more reliable way to follow that feeling back to an earlier time they felt that way. And one of the reasons I want to highlight this is a lot of clients, and I just had one recently, they have one feeling for everything. Every feeling of discomfort is anxious, okay? And they'll come to me and they'll tell me about how their week went, and they'll tell me about all this unfairness and all this stuff that just started to happen to them. It was totally unfair. Oh, and da 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 da. How you been feeling all week? I've been feeling anxious all week. Okay, when they've just really been feeling angry all week. And that this especially happens in the middle of an age regression process where they're describing a really unfair situation. It's unfair, 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 unfair. How do you feel? Sad. Or how do you feel? Scared. Okay, do you want to add anything to this, Cal?
Well, I think you're right on to something, and that what happens is you got to understand what precipitates each emotion, and then your clients, when you ask them what's happening, what are you thinking, what are you feeling, they'll do this to you, and they'll give you stuff that doesn't make any sense. They'll talk about not fair, which means anger, and you ask them how are you feeling, and they say sad. So one of two things is happening. Either, They're misnaming the feeling, or they're also thinking something else that's causing them to feel sad. And so, and there's some techniques we do for that. We'd say, and what did you lose? But you need this to be an excellent age regression hypnotherapist. You need to have this clarity about what thoughts bring about which emotions. That's what you're trying to say, isn't it, Elrum?
Absolutely. Don't take their word for it. Once again, like we've been talking about, it's all about being thorough. Find out the story. Ask those five questions. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are you thinking? They might not tell you what they're thinking. Get the thought. Get the thought, okay? Is that feeling familiar or new? How old are you? So that we can find the story and make it make sense both ways. A equals B, but B's also got to equal A, so that we can be accurate and thorough as possible.
Now, how does this relate to your sessions?
I found out that I really appreciated that that's what you did.
Ah, it wasn't just purely academic anymore, right?
Oh, no. It's all experiential, baby.
Okay, good.
Yeah, because I found, once again, I knew that there was several different cognitions going on there, and I felt like what happened was very accurate.
Good.
How are we doing on time?
We're good. We're about 18 minutes in.
You want to wrap it up and continue on next episode?
Nope.
No? Okay, one more thing.
I want to give them as much stuff as we can.
All right, let's just cram it in. If there was a funnel in your head, we're just going to cram it in there. Because that's what we do.
We try to give away more in every episode than you can get out of most stuff you have to buy. And we just give it to you for free. We're crazy. We're nuts.
We're nuts. We're crazy. Oh, God. Crazier after therapy than before. All right, how about encouraging the client to let it all out? During any part of a process, but let's just take age regression, you're going to run into emotion, okay? It's going to be heavy emotion. Usually fear causes tears, crying, extreme discomfort. When the client is experiencing these feelings, encourage them to let it all out. It's a safe place to let it all out. That pressure is in there for a reason. It's got to be relieved. You being a cheerleader for your clients to let that emotion out is so, so, so important. For me personally, I found it to be very helpful in the process. You know, especially in this culture, a lot of people don't really have the subconscious permission to feel feelings that they're feeling. Even if they're in a therapy office, a lot of people, you know, they've been trained their whole lives to stuff their feelings, or circumstances in their life have made them unable to feel their feelings and be open with them. And maybe that's why they're here. Their problem is happening because those feelings are in there. Just get them out. Get them out. Deal with them. Take care of it and move on.
You know, and there's a lot of psychological research that reinforces this idea of just this catharsis of letting it out and not holding it in. So it does a number of things. Just the release can be very healing. And then also what happens is once the release occurs, then they become more open to insight. While that other stuff is being clamped down and pushed down, they can be more resistant to understanding. And later on, Elrond's going to get into talking about forgiveness of others, and I really talk about how anger is a wall. But really, holding any emotion in can cause resistance to the perceptions that are needed to alter the beliefs that are generating these emotions. Good, please continue.
I just wanted to add one more note to that, which was, you know, can't be afraid of your client's feelings. There's a lot of hypnotherapists I know that they're completely terrified of people having an ab reaction, that is, having an emotion. Like, I don't know what to do, okay? People cry. People yell, people scream. If you're not okay with that, then you shouldn't be in this business. That's what it's about. It's about rolling up our sleeves and dealing with the emotion. About making people experience that emotion for a living, because it's the doorway through that emotion, which is where the problem lives. Right where they're trying to feel happy is where that negative emotion actually has a life of its own that's being perpetuated because of its own life, its own negative programming. And so to follow that emotion and to deal with it and get underneath it and neutralize it, it's, you know, it's going to be painful. It's going to be hard to watch, but you got to do it if you want to be a commando. You got to do it if you want to actually see that permanent change. Like I said, roll up your sleeves. Take care of it.
Now, Elrond, is it really that hard to watch?
Oh, not at all. Depends on your personality. I remember you said this one thing to me. Before we started the sessions, you go, I just want to let you know, this is going to be a lot harder on you than it is on me. You said, you go, you know, these are going to be some of the easiest sessions I've ever done. And this is not going to be hard for me at all, but it's going to be hard on you. Are you okay with that? Like, yeah, bring it on, man. That's why I'm here, Cal.
That's right. That's right.
That's what it is. I mean, if you have the intention to deal with it and you're cut out for this, it's not going to be hard for you at all. But if you're hypno wimp, find something else to do.
Yeah, I'm going to give a real world example. I recently had like this boil. And I went to this doctor, and this doctor's all gentle and stuff. And he gets in, he gets hypodermic needle and pulls out some of that nasty stuff. And I felt a little bit better, but I went back a week later saying, hey, it's not any better. And he takes a hypodermic needle, puts it in there, draws out some more of that little nasty stuff. And he says, if it's not better in a week, you need to go see somebody else. And so I did. And I went and saw someone who is a specialist in skin. And he says, man, we got to cut this sucker open and let it all out. And I'm going, yeah, amen. That's what I want to hear. I don't want to keep going in and taking a little bit out. Let's go in, cut that boil open. Let's drain it all out so it can start to heal. And I tell you, the relief I got from this other doctor that, I mean, he took the blade out. He cut like an inch and a half cut and really drained it out. And the long-term results is hugely different. And that's what you got to do, is you got to be willing to go in there, really let the clients let it all out, really go to the root of the problem and change them at the deepest, most fundamental way through an insight process like 5-PATH. And you can get permanent results. And I know we've been talking about like L. Ron Sankal's Mr. 5-PATH and stuff. Let me give some credit where credit is due. You know, I certainly didn't invent age regression. I certainly didn't invent understanding of emotions and conditioning and all this stuff. And so, you know, some of my heroes in the field of hypnosis, Harry Ahrens, Charles Tebbets, Jerry Kine, Gil Boyne, you know, we take these principles that they've been teaching for years. Then we try to take them, you know, each generation we want to take a little bit step farther. In the world of psychology, we've got Mesmer, which is also is hypnosis, and Dr. Ivan Petrovich Pavlov. Ivan Pavlov Petrovich happens to be his middle name, and I'm kind of reading from the monitor here because I wanted to give some people some credit. Dr. Fritz Perls Gestalt Therapy, which will become more apparent as we get into the parts work and forgiveness therapy, and Aaron Beck's Cognitive Therapy. I mean, we take that information and we move it into the world of age regression and hypnosis. Some people take the stance that when you add psychology to hypnosis, you weaken hypnosis. And I don't think anyone who really has training, degrees in psychology would take that stance. When we take good fundamentals from psychology and add it to hypnosis, then I think we come out with something that's much more powerful. Okay, that's it. Wrap it up.
Thank you for watching. We are going to get into some more really interesting information next episode, so stay tuned, check back, and take good notes. If you want to know more about how to learn this process, go to hypnosis.org and check out the schedule. We've got trainings coming up. I have this feeling that we're going to be adding more trainings to that schedule before the end of the year, because it's a good year for hypnosis, it's a good year for 5-PATHs, and it's a great year for our profession. Thank you for watching. This is L. Ron Ferguson, signing off.
All right, this is Cal Banyan. I add something to that on hypnosis.org. I mentioned it last episode, brand new. We've added the How to Hypnotize video. Go there, sign up for it, you get it. I also give information on how to get another free hypnosis video, some insider tips, tricks, and techniques for making inductions work better. And I got more free stuff coming on the way because I want to work with you guys to transform and lift the profession of hypnosis and hypnotherapy. That's it. Oh, one last thing. We are gathering up all your suggestions. We're gathering up all your questions. And in a couple episodes from now, I'll be back with Meredith. I think we're going to do something probably on sports hypnosis. I know that Cynthia Thurman would really like that, among others. And that's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.